Well, good morning, everyone. Just before we start our call to worship this morning, I just wanted to, Chris and I, wanted to take this special opportunity just to say thank you again to everyone who joined us last week for our celebration. And so it's really great to be to be part of such a great family. And just wanted to say thank you again. And there'll be a thank you card downstairs for you guys to read if you want to. I'm going to start this morning by reading Psalm 149. It says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds." I'm also going to read from Psalm 91, which says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And from verse 9, "If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord of life, of love and peace, and of time itself, we stand in awe of your eternal presence and your resurrection power. You are the Almighty, and we come before you today with thankful hearts that you love us so much, to know that through you we have the gift of eternal life. We open our lives once again to your involvement. Come, Lord Jesus, as you are in heaven, be seated here on the throne of our hearts. Be present fully among us and guide our worship in this hour. May we be fully present with you to forget the stresses and distractions from the past week. Enter in, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your many blessings towards us that you shower upon us in our homes and our families. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings, Lord. We offer them back to you, for you to bless them and multiply them for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we've set aside this day in our calendar to remember our mothers. And so, Lord, we give thanks today for the mothers who gave birth to us, who nurtured us and raised us. But Lord, we also remember there are those mothers who have lost children and children who have lost their mothers. And so, Lord, in this day where others are celebrating, we pray for your comfort on those who cannot celebrate, but who are still saddened at the loss of a mother or mother-in-law dearly loved. Lord, we pray for divine wisdom in our homes, for mothers who are raising their children in difficult and challenging circumstances, for there are so many, even here in our community. And Lord, we pray for mothers around the world. Lord, we pray for those mothers who cannot feed their children, mothers who are homeless And even now, across the world, mothers with their children who are even without a homeland, but are refugees. Lord, we pray for those mothers who have to teach their children every day of the dangers of bombs and bullets and violence. And now as we hear in our news of kidnappings, of little children, of girls. Lord, our hearts are saddened at this news of the violence perpetrated on girls and women. It is not right, it is not your order, it is not the way. And we pray, Lord, that leaders of the world will speak up strongly and take action strongly against violence against women and children. Lord, we pray that you'll show us the way to create a world where mothers can raise their children in peace and safety and security. Lord, you came to earth as Prince of Peace. May we be men and women who bring that peace into our families, into our fellowship, into our community, and to all we have contact with. Just in the quietness now, just in your own thoughts, give thanks to God for your mother, grandmother, your mother-in-law. And if it's a time of sadness, just receive God's comfort. Just be present with the Lord and give him thanks. Father God, thank you for hearing our prayers. You know our hearts, even if we cannot voice the words. We thank you for hearing us today. And Lord, now as we prepare to hear your message, we pray for our brother Tim, who's bringing your message to us today. We pray the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit on him as he speaks. May we hear your words preached today. May they plant a seed of truth in our hearts. So Lord, I lift up our brother Tim to you now for your wisdom, for your guidance, and for the power and authority of your Holy Spirit. Be in him now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So such a great privilege again to be here. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And I'm so grateful to be here with you. Before I get started, I just want to express something. My emotion is not out of nervousness. I know a lot of you think it, or at least I've heard it expressed. For me, when I become emotional speaking God's word, what happens to me is I have before me ways that I have experienced God that has so humbled me in such a way that I tremble. And when I stand here to express something to you that I'm trusting is from him, in a sense I don't see you. I do, but I don't. I see the experience that I've had when I was next to death. I see the times when he has literally spoken to me and told me to do specific things. And I didn't deserve any of that. I'm not trying to proclaim that I am a great spiritual giant. It's very obvious that I'm not, because of my emotional weakness about this. But before I go into this, I want you to understand that And I know you can't. I'm sorry. Unless you've been at the edge like I've been, you can't understand what I'm saying. Unless you have been truly at that edge of death, where all of your life is very clear to you, when all the things that you thought you were gaining for and pushing for are absolutely nothing and you just see them blow away, there's nothing to stand on. There's no confidence anymore. You are what you are, what you've been before God. And unless He reaches out, as Jesus did at the Revelation, and touches you, and says, "Don't fear, I have the keys of hell and death." Unless He touches you and gives you that energy to stand before Him, you can't. I can't. And the sense of my being before Him like that and being given mercy and life again to be here with you is awesome. I don't deserve it. Let me tell you a reason I know that. Years ago, in the 90s, I was out west. He had sent me, literally sent me out west, and He eventually led me to the streets through contracts that I'd had with congregations to share his pastoral ministry and his word. And while he had led me to the streets, not to start proclaiming or aggressively evangelize, to just walk in prayer and wait on Him to stir people's hearts to come to me and the people or person that I was with, and then talk with them, but listen to their story and hear how God was working in their lives and changing them or convicting them of ways they needed to change, and then let them know God wants to speak to their hearts and let them know how He is with them in that. They had their own conviction of sin. They didn't need me to tell them they're sinners. They knew it because God's Spirit was already there, as Jesus said in John, that He would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He was doing it. I heard it over and over and over again from prostitutes, from pimps, from heart surgeons, and I can go on. But they didn't hear from the Lord. They didn't hear His word. His message, His utterance to their hearts, like I had. And that's what this message is about. And it's something that somebody's going to say, "What the hell's he saying? This isn't the word." It's a testimony, a united testimony to the word. Now, somebody here can tell me who the word is. Right on. Jesus is the word. He's alive and living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword when He acts and when He speaks to people's hearts. This can't do that. This witnesses to Jesus doing that, as I just quoted. Jesus is that awesome, living, active, sharp sword. And this tells us, "Call out to me, and I will answer you. Call to me. Don't talk about me. Don't preach about me. Come to me." That's my message. That's my preaching, he says. That's the word of the faith that we, if we're responding to Him, if we've sought Him and not the letters like the Pharisees did, but Jesus, the one who Moses followed, who listened to, whom he listened to and followed, God, Joshua, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, yes, they screwed up in many, many ways. But they listened and they cried out in faith, knowing that God was living, that God speaks, that God wants relationship with you and me, with them. And the message is never, ever changed. But Jesus came to make it so abundantly clear that the message isn't this, that it's knowing God, that God is living and active around you right now. Back when I was in my last year of high school, I'd been raised in the United Church. And at 10 years old, I'd actually been told about Jesus there. So I'm not saying everybody there is going to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to help you focus in on this. When I was there, I walked out when I was 10 years old. Why I had this stuff going on in my mind, I don't know at 10 years old. I walked out the door one summer, and I looked back at it, and I said, this isn't the truth. I'm going to go looking for it. And then in my last year of high school, a friend invited me to a missionary church camp meeting where they were having a whole week-long camp or two-week-long camp, but he invited me to this meeting. And in that meeting, I heard the message for the first time of surrendering to God in Jesus. I'd never heard that message of surrender. I'd heard about Jesus and I'd heard about the testimony of the scriptures. I had been taught the scriptures in Sunday school. But they weren't alive. They were just a law to live by. The Ten Commandments and all that kind of stuff. Yes, I heard about Jesus, but again, it was that saving message, but it wasn't this message of surrender and receive his spirit. And it convicted me, and I responded to the altar call, but my life didn't change. I believed, but my life didn't change. What was wrong? And I kept going on not knowing. And I tried to live good. I tried to live like a Christian, but it wasn't happening. And eventually, 5 years later, a little less than that, I started having this conviction in that same year that something was wrong, and I just couldn't understand it. And it kept driving me out of the house. I was up studying forestry up in Thunder Bay, kept driving me out of the house off to this wilderness park across from the university. And I would start crying out, God, if this is you, do something, help me. And I couldn't understand, are you even alive? Talk to me. Do something. Let me know. Fix this. What's going on? Nothing happened until eventually January 3rd, 83, I was driving back up to Thunder Bay from Collingwood, where my parents lived, and I arrived in Thunder Bay, parked in the driveway. And I stepped out of the car door, and it was like stepping through a veil. And all I could see around me was this intense white light. And I stood up, and I looked around at this strange thing. And then I heard the words, now go and read your Bible and learn what I've shown you. I hadn't done anything good or right to deserve that. But I did, and I couldn't have enough of it. I would read it until 3, 4 in the morning and fall asleep, wake up at 2 or at 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning and pick it up off my chest and read it again, and then I had to force myself to go to classes. And this kept happening for months until finally I said, Lord, I need some help here. I'm so exhausted. My marks are going up somehow, but I am so exhausted. I don't know what to do about this. I need help. Please release me from this compulsion to read. I need to come back to something that is real, that not real, but that's normal, that I can handle, my body can handle. And right after that, I started to read the first psalm that I started off with. I think it was Psalm 124, forgotten now. Starts out, it is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late. And I just burst out in laughter and thanked the Lord. And I could just feel that freedom. And that changed my life. From then on, my life was changed. And I began to understand that there was a spiritual reality around me that I hadn't been getting, that I hadn't been seeing, that I hadn't believed in, because I didn't know about. So what I'm saying, or the reason I'm giving you that, is to help you to see that, like, I grew up in an intellectual family. And as you, those of you who've heard me preach before, yeah, I still got that kind of intellectual curiosity and passion to learn in that academic sense, to translate scripture and to be able to get a deeper meaning of it, to apply it in my life. But there's more to just that. There's more that to it than that. As I've already said, it's this call to relationship with the Lord, to actually believe that, and in Romans 10 there, the word that is used for word means an individual word, where there's in other places a word that means message. Like Jesus is the message. But he speaks and spoke individual words. In the same way, Paul was saying, the word that we proclaim is not the message, but it's this word, this individual word of Christ to you, to your heart. That if you believe that God is living and active and wants a relationship like the two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And there I've already said the other one, love your neighbor as yourself. Then do it. Then believe that, act on it. Cry out to him, as he says in one verse. Cry out and say, or profess and say, Lord Jesus. Now, it was, as I said, it was 5 years after that initial surrender until I actually experienced that. I know some here didn't wait 5 years. It happened basically at the same time as they surrendered. Others heard the word before they surrendered. Others, like me, maybe longer. But the message here that Paul is getting at is that one of relationship. That he wants you to get that good news of Jesus Christ, to call out. And if you call out to him, he will respond to you. He will answer you. If you just say, oh, I just cried out and I haven't heard anything, nothing's happened, and carry on your way. I've heard many testimonies of people who've become atheists because nothing happened and they never believed. But for those who persevered, There's always been that testimony that he answered eventually. Why is it longer for some than others? I don't know. Me, I think that God needed to see me persevere to prove, in a sense, to me, not to him, what my heart was about. To in a sense, want him that bad. To keep seeking and keep waiting and not give up. And so, if you want salvation, he will save you. Salvation isn't just academic. It isn't just, I believe, I surrender, and it's done. God is not impotent. If he's going to save you from your sins, from hurting other people, from slandering other people, from being obsessed in tasks like the Pharisees, the task of studying and knowing the law and applying it in judgment of other people, then it's not going to happen. But if you turn to him according to the law and call out to him, profess to him, yes, you are Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come to me, save me. He will be potent. He will be powerful, all powerful, to save you from that isolation from him, from that wandering through your world without him and going into eternity without him. He wants you to go into eternity with him now. To enter that eternal love, marriage, relationship with him now, if you haven't already. And maybe all of you have, I don't know. But I'm not going to take the time now to read the scripture at all. I encourage you to take the time to read that Romans 10. And understand that difference between one word and another, between message and individual utterance. That God does speak to our hearts. That he does enter into relationship. He wouldn't command us to love him if he weren't going to respond. He wouldn't command us to love one another in his love if it wasn't true, if he would not be a part of it in a living, potent way, not some mere academic letter way, as Paul also contrasted with what I'm saying. So many of you have seen this, and I'm maybe wasting my breath for you. I hope that it encourages you and establishes you all the more in what you've been living. I hope my testimony does that. To those of you who haven't, I hope it disturbs you. I hope that makes you wonder. I hope that you become irritated over the days and weeks and months, maybe even years ahead. And that God, not me, not my voice, but God's voice would speak in your heart. That his spirit would convict you. That he would not let go of you. But that he would keep reaching out, as it says here too, in one of the Old Testament references, that he has stretched out his arm to Israel all day long, and they've been contentious and disobedient because they want to force him to obey the law as they understand it. He won't do it. He wants us to turn to him. And to trust in that very personal, powerful, acting spirit of his Son, whom he sent to express that all-sacrificial, giving love of God towards us, so that we respond to that and then enter into a reciprocal or brotherly love with God, as Moses had, who was called friend of God by God himself. So let's just close in prayer, if you would, with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the testimony of Scripture, that it is your testimony to us through all the people who have heard from you, who've listened to you, who've spoken to you and cried out to you in faith, with that word of the faith of your proclamation through Jesus. So thank you for Jesus as your message of you. Thank you for the ways that you speak to our hearts, that you call us home to you. In an eternal sense, right now in this life, so that we can live with abandon, not afraid to die, not afraid to lose, but recognize that all things in this world will pass away, we will lose all, but even then we will never lose our relationship with you, if only we respond and turn to you in Christ Jesus, in his Spirit. Just as he cried out in prayer to you, to the one who is able to save him, as Hebrews testifies. Thank you that we too can do the same in his Spirit in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for Paul's witness and so many others in Christ Jesus. Amen. I would ask you too there to think the fact that what I really just said, when it talks about the word there, it's not talking about the Bible. Maybe it was, maybe the author thought that way. But if you really read it in terms of the word being Jesus, it will really make a lot of sense. He is the cornerstone that Paul refers to, that others refer to, that the prophets referred to. He is that foundation that Paul said no one else can lay except Christ himself. Let him be that cornerstone, that foundation for you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Tim, for the message today of God's word and Jesus being the word, the message of God's love for the world. And he's passed that on to us, to take that message of God's love to the world. That's our job as Christians, as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, is to carry the word of faith into the world. So as you go from here today and you go into celebration, maybe for Mother's Day, God bless you and take God's blessing with you. Go in peace. Amen.